Okay, we're going live now.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Steve. This is the HR Technology Show, the impromptu show that we set up based on talking to Mark Stelzner and a few others on Twitter to have a little chat. And can we just quickly go around the callers who've dialed in so far and just give a shout-out, tell us who you are, where you're calling from?
Hi, everyone. This is Cherie Klemek, employer brander from Twitter. I'm calling in from Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, hi, Cherie. Thanks for calling in. Who else do we have on the line?
Hi, this is Joyce Chastain. I'm an HR consultant calling in from Tallahassee, Florida.
That's great. Anyone else?
Hey, guys. It's Mark Stelzner.
Mark.
Hi, everybody. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Oh, don't forget me.
Go ahead.
It's Shauna, HR Minion. How is everyone?
Hey, Shauna.
Oh.
And I know there's one more very special person on the line. Can you go ahead and say who you are and where you're calling from? I thought there was.
Well, I'm certainly not a special person, but this is Charlene Lauby down in Fort Lauderdale.
Yes. Yes, it's an honored guest. Thanks for calling in.
Wow, Charlene.
This is really an all-star cast.
She was so gentle with her entrance, too. It was really very subtle.
It's really fantastic.
Exactly.
Hi. The last person who called in, can you say your name and where you're calling from?
Jeez, I can't keep my presence low, can I?
Oh, it's Becky Allen.
Oh, thanks, Mark. Oh, it's Becky Allen.
Wow, this is...
Thanks, hello. Mark. I love you, too.
Becky, hello. It's Cherie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Great to hear your voice.
Likewise.
Wow, this is an all-star panel. I'm glad that... you know, I don't know if it's good or bad that within 15 minutes' notice on a Friday night, such a star-studded cast could assemble and be available to call in on an internet talk show. But it's fantastic.
I think it's a sign of our commitment to the industry, Steve. Really.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Let's call it that. Yeah.
Or the fact that it's happy hour.
Yeah,
well, or it could have anything else to do. It could also be the fact that we need to talk to fellow HR folks instead of. Management and their issues.
Amen.
Kidding. Steve, we need a friendly voice at this point on a Friday afternoon.
There you go.
Yeah.
And we have the HR bartender here, so that's helpful.
I know. I wish we were serving it up.
Well, I am at my house.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not Charlie.
Hi, we have one more caller join the call. Can you say your name and where you're calling from?
Hey, it's Mike Krupa calling.
Mike, how are you, my friend? This is Steve.
Good, I'm calling from Denver.
Denver, Colorado, fantastic. Mike is the one of the HR technology mavens that we have on Twitter and absolutely great guy for those of you who don't know him. Although I think just about everybody here probably does know Mike, I would expect at this point.
I think we do. Hey, Mike, it's Mark Stelzner. How are you?
Hey, good.
Good.
Well, you know, this is inspired by Stelzner, like a lot of great ideas lately. Inspired by Stelzner.
Please.
Who sort of admonished us to say, if you're not talking to at least two people every week on the phone, who you've met on Twitter, you're not really getting it done. So I think we've covered that allotment for at least the next 3 or 4 weeks here.
I think it's good. I think it's nice that everybody met their quota. I know Shauna, HR Minion, was feeling a little aggressive about the topic, but we...
I'm always on the phone!
We've gotten her off the ledge, so I think that's great. No, but I do think it's important. And I think what's great is I've had the benefit of chatting offline with almost all of you, and I have to say it does really make a difference to take the personalities that we see online all the time into a one-on-one conversation, and I think it helps cement the relationship. And obviously, ultimately, we'd love to all get together and chat face-to-face, and some of us will hopefully have that opportunity soon. But I don't know. I mean, do you guys think it makes a difference to take these relationships offline?
Oh, it makes a huge difference. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it makes it more real.
And I know we're all, you know, we come from a variety of backgrounds. Has taking the relationship offline led to new ideas, new initiatives, new business for you guys?
I think so.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, definitely new ideas, new relationships, and business partnerships and opportunities, without a doubt. I mean, there's so many wonderful people that we're all connected to, and we all have great ideas for where this industry is going or where it could go. And the more we get together and actually talk about it, whether it's online or in person like this, the better chance we're going to have to, you know, move something forward and make something happen.
Yeah, this is Steve. I would say, you know, I have not had the pleasure to talk to everyone on the line here. I have talked to a few of you before, and just to be able to just say hello and connect the name, you know, connect the face and the voice together is really just, it's great for me, regardless of what might happen in the long term. I do have one more caller who's just joined the call. Can I ask the latest caller to say their name and where they're calling from, please?
Hi, Steve. It's Susan Burns in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, great. Thanks for calling in, Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Hey, who's that?
That's Mark Stelzner. How are you?
Good, Mark. How are you doing?
Good, good. And I have to say, you know, a lot of the people on the call today, Steve, you were one of the reasons that we all got together.
Okay.
When you put us together in your online class.
Yeah, this is really, I was just about to say the same thing. For those of you who maybe don't know the story, in one of my classes, we arranged a bit of a virtual expert panel where quite a few of the folks who are on this call right now, Mark, Michael, Susan, mm-hmm. Becky, I think that's about it, who's on the line right now, all called in live using a similar software to what we're using now and did a little expert panel and chat session with the students in my class on the last night of class, and it was really fantastic. It was a lot of fun, and I think certainly a very valuable experience for the students, and I got a kick out of it as well. So that's what really what Mark is referring to.
How many people do you have on the call?
Right now we have 8 people called in plus me, so we're a total of 9, and I'm not...
Wow.
And innumerable people listening live as well on the internet. So it would help, since there's so many of us on the call, it might help to just sort of, you know, shout your name out before you make a comment, just so anybody who is listening might be able to keep the name straight.
My dog wants to talk. He won't stop barking.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was Shauna.
Now, Shauna, the HR minion, you recently had, we know, most of us know, you had a little bit of a mishap lately, so are you feeling okay?
I'm fine. I mean, I'm... Okay, so I got hit, but I should have, you know, not been stupid, and I was being a little careless. I made a U-turn, and I got hit, and my wheel took the impact of most of it, and my car's, you know... stupid, and I can't drive it, but, you know, my sister's letting me borrow her car until it's fixed, so it's okay. I mean, the other driver is fine. I mean, it was on a street, and we weren't going very fast, so no one got hurt. It's just more annoying now than anything else. But thank you for asking.
That was important news that came up in the last week, and do you feel like, you know, I don't know, this is a weird thing. Sometimes, like, if people you get used to contacting or interacting with on Twitter or other social networks, sometimes, like, when they disappear, you kind of get a little worried for them. You know, if someone's offline for a few days, you start to think, oh, I hope nothing bad's happened to them. So, yeah, you do build up a bit of a concern and an interest in the people you've met online. At least I think you do.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, this is my first. Absolutely, absolutely. And we're waiting to hear what Becky's new thing is, her big thing.
Oh, I knew you were going to ask. Anybody was going to ask. I knew Mike was going to ask. I'm not saying. I'm keeping it a secret. It's top secret information, so.
Aww.
So there's a secret business plan being concocted that sort of on a need to know basis as far as I can get.
Right.
Well, Becky,
like anything else in this area, it's all top secret.
Exactly. No, well played. But I'm glad you're feeling better, Becky. I know you also were struggling with a lovely series of illnesses.
Yes. I'm all better. Thank
yeah.
you.
Not of this wine variety, just for clarity.
Yeah. No more wonderful meds.
Exactly. So, Steve, when does your next class start up, and what are the main topics that you anticipate this group focusing on?
I'll tell you what, we start up in next week, actually. I start up with a new group. I've got a nice, pretty good outline organized. I'm using, this time, we're going to be implementing some new software that I've not used before. It's you could call it maybe internal social networking software. They sort of bill themselves as a community platform or a virtual community of practice type platform. So I'm going to be implementing that and using that in the class this time to try to give the students a real good feel for what these platforms are really like, what capabilities they have, and how they might be used in the real corporate environment. And, we've got some other things going on, too. We'll probably do a couple more of these type of call-in events, and I've recorded a couple of them with different industry experts that I'll be using in the class, and whatever else I can concoct. It should be fun. The class changes so much every time I teach it. Technology moves so rapidly. It's difficult to keep up, but it's fun, and it should be a really good group, I hope, this summer.
That's great.
Which platform did you decide to use for your internal social networking?
I am using a platform from a company called Tamoya. And Tamoya typically markets to, they do a lot of work with defense, army, government organizations for internal social networking and communities of practice. It's a very good platform. It's pretty robust, but it's not very... I think when, students in particular, and many, maybe just professionals, think about social networking, they think about public and Facebook and Twitter and things like that, and this particular platform is really nothing at all like that. It's very much organized around content collaboration, discussion forums, and real interaction, in and around creating valuable content and information. So it's not about, throwing snowballs at each other and those types of things. And I think the connotation of social networking sometimes can kind of scare people away in the corporate environment, that are being pitched the idea of bringing social networking inside the enterprise because they think about the sort of the casual or real sort of fun uses of social networking that may not fit into their enterprise.
So, Steve, this is Sheree. I have a question. Are employees allowed to build individual profiles and share ideas with one another as to what they're working on and collaborating
on?
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct, Sheree. In this platform and in the other ones that I've seen, that's really the one of the main benefits. The profiles can get developed by the employees, and they can tag themselves with different attributes or expertise levels or interests and whatnot, what projects they've worked on, and they all really come with like a robust search capability to allow folks to find expertise. Expertise location is really a big component of internal social networks, and certainly one that we'll be working on in class this time.
How did you come to land on that on Tamoya as your final choice?
I pitched. I asked the community for help. I reached out and. They were one company that responded positively to working with me in the class because it's an educational thing. I'm not really a potential customer per se, and there is an expenditure on their side of time and resource to help me get the community or the software set up appropriately. And so you've got to find the right company who's willing to give back a little bit and make that investment to support an educational initiative. So they were one that responded to me and. That seemed like a good fit.
Interesting. How do you spell it? Is it Tamoya?
It's Tomoye.
Oh, Tomoye.
Yep, TOMOYE. And
cool, thanks.
They're a good group of people, and I've had a lot of fun working with them so far. But enough about me. I'm just the host here. That's supposed to be my show. I just organized the dial-in number.
Megan from Twitter wants to know who talked about the secret plan.
Can you say that again?
I said Megan from Twitter would like to know who was talking about the secret business plan. I think that was, isn't it Becky?
That was Becky. Are you still there, Becky?
That was me. Yeah, I'm here. I just have my phone muted in case my kid goes running by.
Yeah, I'm not sure we're going to get any more out of Becky on the secret business plan, are we?
That's right.
So now I've heard a lot, and you can't help but hearing, or seeing a lot of talk about the big upcoming HR conference in New Orleans, and I imagine some of the folks on this call are going.
I'm jealous.
Are you going? That was Shauna, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it was Shauna, and I am uber jealous because I really want to see the panel with like Kristen and Jessica Lee and Lori. I'm so uber jealous.
You know, if I were you, I mean, they should have invited you. I mean, come on.
Really?
Being the minion got slighted.
I know.
I'd like to have a look into the voting process. Seems a little shaky.
I want someone who's going to videotape it for me.
There'd be a lot of flip cameras there, I'm sure.
Now, Charlene, are you presenting?
I am presenting. I'm not presenting as part of the panel. I'm presenting a session on strategic planning on Tuesday morning.
That's great.
Yeah, really excited about it.
And
are you going?
Here, I can take my flip and I'll have a front row seat during the panel conversation.
And then you have to have someone tape your presentation so I can see that too. And then it's like I am there with everyone. It'd be nice.
Well, you know, hopefully some people will do some live tweeting from these sessions, so it'll, you know, just feel like you were there.
Aww.
But now, does anyone know if they do any streaming at all, live streaming of any of those sessions?
I do not know if they're going to do that this year. I mean, I have to say, I've seen SHRM now do things with regard to the conference blog and some of that stuff that I've never seen SHRM do in the past. So I would encourage people to send a message to China, you know, SHRM COO, and find out if they're doing any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be interesting. I'm sure there's, you know, just like Shauna, there's lots of people who would like to see some of the sessions that, you know, can't get away or get authorization to attend the conference. But it's an interesting idea.
I'm glad you clarified that send a message to China.
He's
an actual person. That could have thrown people
China
off.
China Gorman.
Yeah.
He's a person, not.
I was like, wow.
A funny person too.
Yeah, I'd suggest you go blow it out of your. No, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Mark, we're live. Remember.
I know we're live. It doesn't mean I'm not.
Be good.
That's right. It's a challenge.
There are potentially, you know, tens of people listening right now. So.
That's right. And God forbid I lose a follower as a result of something I've said.
Oh, please.
It's never happened before.
Well, if you want to gain some more back, just send out a couple of choice tweets about, you know, bacon or, you know.
Really?
Yeah, you know, that usually works for me. Every once in a while, a little bacon tweet picks up a few followers.
That's
great. Who doesn't like bacon?
That bacon cupcake recipe made the rounds.
Ooh.
Oh, was that from Foiled Cupcakes?
I found it on a blog somewhere.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And it's a French toast cupcake with maple cream icing and bacon on top.
Oh, please find that again and retweet it out to everyone so that...
This is like assisted suicide. This is a terrible conversation. Yeah. Dr. Kevorkian's cupcake recipe.
The good thing is you can have cupcakes for breakfast.
Is that the justification?
Yeah.
It is.
I like that.
I'm not sure an excuse was even needed for cupcakes for breakfast, but now we have one. That's great. That's great. Yeah, I do think, though, I wonder if sometimes, though, you know, personally, I think there's a certain component of people you're dealing with online that you might alienate with certain types of updates or whatnot. Like, for example, I have a lot of people I interact with simply are in and around one subject, the New York Mets, right? Nothing else. That's really our only commonality. And when there's an important Met game on and I've tweeted 15 times within an hour about the Met game, I wonder if, you know, two-thirds of everybody else who's following me is kind of getting sick of, oh, my God, will he shut up about the Mets already, you know?
You didn't notice me following and unfollowing and following and unfollowing you?
That was you? That was you? I didn't recognize you from the avatar picture.
I don't know. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just want to know if Mark has had any more experiences with pickpockets recently.
That was a long time ago. Wow.
Kicked some major butt that day.
That was a good memory.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. For those who don't know what he's referring to, a gentleman, I'm making finger quotes and with my middle finger, actually. he tried to mug me on the Metro. And he did that to the wrong person. So, the Metro is the system of trains here in D.C., and I was coming out of the Metro, and the weather was a bit ugly, and he tried to grab my phone and my wallet at the same time. And I spun around, picked him up, and slammed him into a center display and kind of rendered him inert. So it was fun.
Did you call the cops, Mark?
They were there pretty quick, actually. when you cause someone to start gurgling and not able to stand,
oh my goodness,
the cops kind of come pretty quickly. So, but it was
he had it coming.
The good news is I wasn't hurt. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, you guys are like, wow, job angels, and he's really angry. That's good.
Yeah.
He knows how to kick some butt. Don't mess with Mark.
Exactly.
The dark side of job angels.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh no. Job devils. That's what we'll have to start that next.
Yin and yang.
Exactly.
So Mark and Cherie, can you tell us a bit about what is happening with job angels? I keep seeing things, but I know I've been a little out of the loop in terms of what you guys are doing, how much it's grown, what's happening with the website.
No, it's a great question, Cherie.
You want to go?
No, why don't you start us out, Cherie?
Well, actually, I mean, things are continuing to move along. The community has really taken Job Angels and really run with it. You know, we're obviously all volunteers and dedicating our time as we can while we're, of course, trying to make a living at our day jobs. But the community has truly kept it going and kept the spirit of Job Angels alive by tweeting and on LinkedIn and not so much Facebook, but I think we're actually at about 16,000 members right now.
Wow.
One of the really great things that we've been noticing recently is that when we send out links to people's resumes online, they're actually averaging about 100 click-throughs on their resumes, which is
awesome.
Huge. And Mark has been doing a phenomenal job, really phenomenal job, at putting out a weekly newsletter for the group now. And Mark, if you want to talk about that a little bit, but I think we're at, what, like a 99% open rate? So.
Yeah, and thanks, Cherie. I don't know if you guys are familiar with email distribution lists and open rates, but traditionally in marketing, if you get anything above, you know, 15% in terms of your email registrants actually reading what you sent, you're crushing it. And our open rate, we have about 1,250 subscribers so far for the newsletter of our now approaching, actually, Cherie, 18,000 members. It's growing daily here. Our open rate is over 99%. So what that means is almost every single person who is registered to receive it is actually opening it. And then the number of people that are actually clicking through to the linked articles or the linked people that are profiled, it's extremely high. So we're pleased, but I think it has everything to do with the fact that we have a highly motivated audience. People are well engaged. They are opting in. They are electing to participate. But I'll tell you something else that's interesting. A lot of folks then also disappear. We're aware of a lot of people that have received help through Job Angels who have helped, that once their work is done, they are gone. And unfortunately, we have no way of knowing exactly how many people that is. And that's sort of the downside of continuing to exist solely on the three social networks, is that we are really at the mercy of the self-governance and self-participation of the network. Thus, our continued struggle to deploy a website on jobangels.org. And as Sheree mentioned, a lot of the delay really has to do with the opportunity cost of our volunteer leadership team. We all have full-time pursuits, and it's just been very difficult to continue to balance everything in our personal and professional lives.
But the good news is we're actually making a great deal of progress. And I think, Mark, I don't know if you would agree with this, but I think we're probably going to be launching in a couple of weeks with a nice basic, first go at a website.
Yeah, that's right. So, we're focusing a lot on content and connectivity. Those are sort of the two issues. We've got to get people connected to one another, those that need help and those that are willing to offer help. And we've got to provide, obviously, access to a litany of content that we're privy to. And we're fortunate enough that a lot of organizations are providing us content. A lot of authors are agreeing to syndicate their content and be featured. So for us, it's not a lack of desire or a lack of information. It's simply a lack of time.
All of those listening, if you're willing to be Job Angels volunteers or Guardian Angels, you can contact me at Employer Brander on Twitter.
Sign me up.
Yeah, that was a nice commercial.
Yeah, there you go.
There, I got my time in. Yeah. How do you like that?
Or if you would like to donate an excess $1 million, we're also accepting that. So, whichever you feel most comfortable with, of course.
Great. Yeah, that's
right. I think with Job Angels, it's a great opportunity for a recruiter that's out of work to help another person market themselves. Because I that's one of the reasons I participated in Job Angels, was because I was at a job fair and a lot of people don't know how to use LinkedIn or some of the other social networks to find a job or market themselves. And I think it should be a call to recruiters to step up and help somebody else, just give them some pointers, send them some links, help them out, help them market themselves. And then in the process, they can help themselves, really, because you're helping somebody else, and then you can call some into a company or maybe one of your network. And it's a great excuse to get back in touch with somebody that you haven't been in touch with and be like, hey, I'm on the market, I'm looking for a job myself, but I'm really just trying to help this person.
And you know what, that was really well said, and there's no better feeling in the world when someone, and Mark forwarded this email off to the leadership team last week about this individual who said that Job Angels completely changed their life. It was a feature in last Friday's newsletter, wasn't it, Mark?
Yes, it was. Yeah, Susan Sue out of New York City, who elected to pursue her passion, and that's kind of one of the encouraging things I see is many people are seeing this, whether out of necessity or design, as an opportunity to reinvent themselves.
Yeah.
To try something they maybe never would have tried, and if they would have tried it, maybe it was much, much later in their life or in their career. So I'm seeing a lot of great entrepreneurship come out of the people that are in need of work right now. And Susan was a great example of someone who decided to not only try it, but just commit herself to her passion of jewelry. And she's actually launching a jewelry line that she's going to donate a percentage of the proceeds back to Job Angels.
Cool. Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually. So enough about us, but that's sort of the extended commercial break on what's happening on our show. I'm sorry, Steve.
No, please feel free. As you well know, the 15-minute advance warning for this call, there was no time to prepare a specific agenda or series of topics. So wherever the chat takes us is absolutely fine with me. I'm just, it's something I think about in the teaching I'm doing. I'm trying not to be so much the teacher, but more the facilitator. You know, I want to let the students figure out what it is they're interested in and want to talk about and learn. So I'd say the same thing about this call right now.
Well, one question I had, actually, if you don't mind, Steve, is Charlene, I know you are an advisor to SHRM, I believe. Could you share maybe what happened in your recent discussions?
Are you trying to talk to Charlene, Lobby? I believe Charlene has dropped off the call, Mark.
I
saw her tweet. I'm trying to keep an eye on TweetDeck as well. I believe she dropped off just a few minutes ago.
She did.
We did lose somebody. So, it is interesting, though, to see what's gone on there. You know, just from an outside perspective, it did seem to me that in recent days, that organization has decided to try to embrace some of the blogging community, some of the social network community in a much more visible manner, right, than they had in the past. Maybe, perhaps they never did in the past.
Yeah, I think it's brand new. I mean, when I sat down with China for breakfast a couple weeks ago, China Gorman again, not the entire country. I'm not that popular. The interesting thing is she really has become almost the ambassador for SHRM in terms of embracing social media. She was the first one to come on. She was the first one to really get proactive about reaching out to some of the bloggers in the community for advice and guidance. SHRM's still not really blogging very much. They've got something around their conference. But, you know, one thing I did like about my conversation with China is she was not afraid to admit that SHRM's got a long way to go on some of this stuff, that they're not perfect, that they really are dusting off their business plan and trying to assess what is the proper future direction for the organization. And I respect her for not pretending that everything is okay. And I've been critical of the organization. I think others have as well. So I think the first step, in self-awareness is knowing you have a problem. So I think they're there. So I applaud them for that. What they do with that and how they proceed from here, remains to be seen.
Yeah. I just want to interrupt this train of thought for 1 second, and I want to give a little shout-out to someone on Twitter. Mona Locked In, hello. I saw your tweet. You're listening. And Becky, if you haven't seen this, Mona says Becky Allen is great. So good for you, Becky.
Thank you.
Thank you. So thank you to Mona for that comment. One of the things, I'm going to ask this question of the HR minion since she's on the line and she's one of my favorites. In my small little toehold I have into the academic world, right, do you think that sometimes, the academic world might not take the professional or blog world as seriously as they should because of, some of the HR minion, the punk rock HR, the HR bartender? I'm not trying to be funny by that, but like really, seriously, do you think that is an issue maybe with sort of perception?
Definitely.
And have you ever considered maybe sort of altering your approach, or no, you don't care about what the academic world thinks?
Well, now that I have my master's degree, I could care less. No. I kind of worry, I guess, a little, because I in a way, I like it because, I'm admitting what my status is. I don't know everything. I'm not pretending to know everything. But at the same time, I think I offer useful insight, and it's good to hear someone kind of from the trenches. So, I understand that it's hard to take someone seriously if they're calling themselves a minion. But, whatever. I think if you're not willing to look past that, then I don't really care. I'm done with institutionalized learning. I'm going to become an autodidact and just do it on my own.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's funny. Go ahead.
This is Susan. I guess I even wonder, does that even go broader than the academic field, and that it's sort of just the business in general or segments of society in general, but in some ways, isn't that kind of the great thing about social media, that you can sort of create this persona of who you are and still be true to yourself, but it's sort of a personal branding aspect.
Oh, yeah. It has definitely become part of who I think of myself, like how I think of myself as a professional.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm not certainly advocating you change a thing. I love what you're doing. I've been a big fan for ages. But, there was a time, I would say, and I don't know if it was specifically you, the HR minion, but let's just say it was, and I was in a meeting with some professors, and I might have said, well, I recently read an article by the HR minion where she said, blah, 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 and you do get that raised eyebrow look from those types, right? Whereas for me, citing the HR minion is very relevant, and I have no problem doing it, whereas there's certainly a group out there that might be a little reticent of that kind of citation or whatnot.
Well, I think it also humanizes the profession a bit. I mean, we are not all a bunch of cogs that robotically follow manuals. We are people with personalities and opinions and distinct impressions of things. And I think what's good about some of these monikers that people are using is there is not a one-size-fits-all, or there should not be, in my opinion, a one-size-fits-all HR function. And within a function, there should not be a one-size-fits-all HR persona. And, when you're fighting against Toby in the office, right, as sort of the perception, and unfortunately in a lot of cases the reality of HR, then, you've got to get out there and you've got to, shake some trees to make a little bit of noise and get your voice heard. And I applaud it. And, I'm a big fan of sort of disruptive behavior for a purpose. And I think it does serve a purpose. Because I think, you've got to get yourself out of this academic mindset, out of this business mindset, to realize that at the end of the day, these are people that are carrying a lot of weight on their shoulders. And it's a hard profession. And it doesn't come with a heck of a lot of rewards, that's for sure.
And subversion is good.
Yes.
And doesn't it really come down more to the content and what the person is saying versus, what the moniker is?
If you can get past the moniker to get to the content. I mean, that's, I wrote about this a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if people really, really necessarily cared about it, but if they agreed with it, I compared Lance Hahn and Lori Rudiman. Lori is perceived to be, very disruptive and out there and cuss a lot and talk a lot about bacon and everything else. Well, I love Lori. I think Lori's really smart, but I think actually the more subversive of the two is Lance. And I don't think people would necessarily get that at first impression, because I think Lance's ideas in some way are as revolutionary, if not more revolutionary, than what Lori's prescribing. So, I think it is the presentation layer, but the presentation layer may dictate who actually goes far enough to actually consume the content.
Yeah, and it kind of speaks to some of the biases potentially that enter into everyday life, doesn't it? When you think about overall diversity in the workplace, how many times does somebody form an opinion based on something that's completely irrelevant to the quality or the caliber of their work?
Excellent point.
Yeah, no, totally agree. That's a great point. Okay, I'm just checking up. It's interesting that while we're talking here, there's quite a few of you guys are sending out a few tweets as well. That's hysterical. I wonder if, this...
Would it be without that, Steve?
Yeah, I saw a paper recently this week. It was all about the pros and cons of Twittering at academic conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing was it was sort of a mixed message, actually, that these few academics, determined or concluded that, in some ways it was very meaningful and helpful to try to, coordinate meetings with people who are actually at the conference and connections there. But at the same time, it very well may detract from the purposes of being at the event or the conference itself, the fact that, people's attention was diverted away from what was actually happening with the people who were actually present with them to be, sending frequent updates back to, the Twitterverse. So it was interesting to read.
Well, I can definitely, this is Cherie, I can definitely relate to that. There was a conference in Chicago held by Reagan Communications. It was the UnConference, and it was a free event at the Drake Hotel, and there was a huge turnout of people, just a phenomenal gathering of people in all industries, you know, across internal communications, human resources, PR, naturally, you know, social media, quote-unquote, gurus were there as well. And everything, all of the tweets were being displayed on the screen. And, of course, many of us were tweeting during the conference, but I think at one point we all realized that most eyes were on the screen looking at the tweets instead of listening to and really zeroing in on the questions that were being asked and the responses by the audience members to answer those questions. And it was an eye-opener because you do miss out on a lot of the conversations and learning opportunities that are taking place because Twitter can be such a distraction. And everyone loves to see their tweets, you know, during a conference, and it's great for connectivity, and it's great to be seen, you know, whatever reason, or share information or whatever it might be. But I do tend to agree that it's starting to kind of take away from the meaning of being together face-to-face and actually learning from one another. Just my two cents.
Yeah. No, I think those are great points, and I think that gets to some of the conclusions that I had read and some of the things I've seen. I really have wondered at times, you know, being a spectator to some of these tweets at various conferences, because we've all sort of, you know, you have communities of people you're interested in who tend to gravitate around the same topics, and you get four or five people at the same conference, and you see the same updates from all four of them, you know, one after another about a particular event that's going on at a conference. It is a little bit... you start wondering, well, why are they there at the conference just to report back to me, or are they there to, you know, attend and connect with the people who are there?
Can it be a little bit of both?
Yeah, I definitely think it can be. The research that I read is certainly balanced in both ways. There was a lot of positives to the whole idea of you know, live and real-time reporting of information back to the community, as well as some negatives as well. So it was pretty balanced assessment, I thought.
I think everything on Twitter has to come with a balance in some way, shape, or form.
I agree. I mean, I think it's part of sort of this broader issue of multitasking and divided attention, right? I mean, even on this call, if we're all sitting here listening and we're tweeting, we're probably doing seven other things at the same time. We might honestly be missing the essence of what's happening. And one thing that I think a trap we've kind of gotten ourselves into now, and it's not social media's fault, but social media makes it easy, is the temptation to be doing seven different things at once. So, you know, if I'm, you know, Sherita, your conference, if I'm sitting there tweeting, I'm missing whatever's being presented. So I'll only come back and bring my eyes up when it, you know, I'll miss probably a couple minutes, depending on how fast my fingers can move, of what the presentation's all about. So, you know, you only get bits and pieces. You get snippets or sound bites, and that's kind of the society we live in. But you know, I think it happens on webinars or conference calls, you know, where people are checking their email and clicking through and waiting for that one nugget to hopefully jump through the phone.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes I also, this is a cynic in me, thinks there could be some element of, you know, aren't I cool? Look where I am and look what I'm seeing to it as well. With some of these dispatches from the various events that are going on. But then that's the bitter cynic in me that would say
that. Hey, sorry. Darby cannot stop barking.
What type of a dog are we talking about here?
He's a Pembroke Welsh Corgi, and he's, you know, they're very territorial, and they're big protectors. So he hears a dog and it's like, oh no, they're coming after us. And he's just this tiny little guy, but he's so, you know, full of energy, and I apologize that he keeps barking.
Hey, this is real life.
That's one of those little tiny dogs, right? Though.
Well, he's stout, but he's big.
Okay. So he's got some attitude, right?
Oh, yeah. It's all about the attitude.
Well, guys, I'm going to beg off. way to check the box, everybody, on their offline quota. I'll be checking back in with everyone next week to see how it goes. But one thing I will offer, and it's, I don't, if there are people listening on the web, I am always open for a live conversation. So if people want to message me or drop me a DM or an email or even pick up the phone, as shocking as that would be, feel free to do so, and let's catch up, because I think you all are important voices, and I want to continue to develop relationships with all you guys.
Have a great weekend, Mark.
Thank you, everybody.
Hi.
Bye.
Good one.
Mark.
Stay out of trouble.
Thanks, Steve, for this. Bye-bye.
Yeah, take care. Yeah, so Mark is funny. Mark, inspired us to quickly organize this call, and I do appreciate everybody calling in. I certainly, as I said, did not have any specific agenda or series of questions, but I did have one more question. Shari, you're still on the line?
Yep, I'm here.
I'd like to ask you a little bit, if you could just tell us a little bit about what you do in employer branding. We know you're the employer brander, but I'm not sure
what that means.
That I even completely understand what it means and what you do to help companies in that regard. And if you wouldn't mind talking a little bit about that, I think that might be great.
Oh, sure. Of course. Well, actually, I've been in employer branding or employee communications, recruitment marketing for 16-plus years. I've worked at Shaker Recruitment Marketing and Communications, J. Walter Thompson, as well as Bernard Hodes Group, and in January, I left the agency world to actually head out on my own. Believe it or not, in a time when everyone else was losing their jobs, I decided I was leaving mine and going to start my own venture. Naturally, then 4 days later, Mark Stelzner sent the Job Angels quote, and that changed everything. But basically, it is kind of confusing, and I'm actually glad you asked, because believe it or not, I'm even contemplating changing my Twitter name, because what I am doing currently is really helping companies to focus on branding their culture from the inside out of their organizations rather than developing an employer brand solely for the purpose of recruiting and going straight to market with a brand campaign. So really looking to help create stronger brand ambassadorship, not just from the employment perspective, but also from the products and or services that a company offers. So everything that I do is really built around listening to the voices of your culture, your customers, and even the communities that, you know, a company either creates and or serves. And so, you know, the result of that is typically articulation and definition of, you know, what a company's message is, but more importantly, helping employees understand what the value is, what the value they bring to their work every single day, and how they can, you know, spread the goodwill and the word about their organization outside of the office or the firewall, whether that's at the backyard barbecue or on Twitter or other, you know, social media means. But my concentration is really helping companies to communicate inside first before they go externally with any, you know, marketing or communication strategy.
Great. That's really interesting, and thank you for explaining that, because there's really a lot more to it, right, than simply just a slogan and a catchphrase on an ATS or a job site. It's much more in depth and much more complicated.
It really is. And if you think about it, and there are a lot of different terms that people use for brand today. I mean, we're all now caught up in the personal branding and, you know, what is employer branding, what's consumer branding and product branding. And if you think about, you know, a company who has a brand or an organizational brand, they own assets to what that brand looks like. They own the logo, the patents, the trademarks. But as we all know in social media, they no longer own the perception. It's no longer a one-way communication platform where they can simply tell people through media channels who they are, what they do, why it's great to work here, why you should come to work here, or why you should buy our products and services. It's now the community, we as a community, who are talking about Comcast, we're talking about Best Buy, we're talking about all of these companies, whether they're small businesses or Fortune 50 companies, and we're establishing and influencing and shaping their brand as their audience. And so it's changing the face of branding as we know it, and it's also changing the face of how companies and individuals communicate their brands, as we all very well know it.
Right,
so it's
right.
a pretty exciting industry to be in, especially because it's evolving literally daily, and new ideas are popping up all over the place with regard to how it's measured, with regard to what it is. So it's interesting, dynamic, it's fun, it's exciting, it's scary as hell. Completely honest. I've never been more afraid and more excited in my entire life, but I'm having the time of my life, so I guess that's what counts.
Great. Well, that's great.
That's awesome. It's also a wake-up call for companies, too, if they have the blinders on, thinking, oh, I have a great brand, my employees are happy, I don't want to see what's going on and what's really being said outside.
Exactly.
It's a wake-up call for them.
And you know what's interesting is, you know, this week I've been working with, well, for the past several weeks, I've been working with a fairly small company here in Chicago. They only have about 115 employees, and truly that's kind of what my target is right now. But the interesting thing is, you know, when it comes to the point where, okay, now we have our survey ready and we're going to ask your employees all of these very critical questions, it's interesting to see a company get cold feet.
Yeah.
You know, oh my gosh, we're really now going to find out what our own employees think about, you know, not only what it's like to work here, but what we're known for and what we're good at. But at the same time, you know, it's also, it's just as wonderful when leadership is not afraid to ask those questions and even ask the questions of customers to see how they're doing and then utilize that to shape, you know, a message for who you are, what you do, and why people should either work for you or work with you or buy from you.
Right. Right. It's interesting that you bring that up because in do you guys, I think somebody tweeted or Steve, it might have been you that brought up the topic of the exit interviews.
Yeah.
And some negative comments that were made without really any justification or something like that. I've been offline for this past week.
Yeah, there
so
was
I'm
a bit
behind.
Of a debate among some folks on one of the blogs about exit interviews and whether they were useful or just a waste of time and or how they might be useful. It was a pretty lively discussion, certainly, in that regard. I think they have their place, certainly, and can be useful, but, you know, it's certainly I'm not the expert in that area at all. Susan, are you still on the line?
I am. I will admit that I'm doing a little bit of multitasking so I can wrap up at a reasonable time on a Friday.
Okay. Well, I do want to ask you a question. I'd just like you to talk a little bit. I know you're involved with the upcoming event next month, a social recruiting event at Google, and I thought maybe you might want to just talk for a minute or two about what that's all about and what's going on with that.
Oh, that would be very cool.
Okay,
right.
Please.
So it's the Social Recruiting Summit, and people can get more information at socialrecruitingsummit.com. The event is sold out, which is very cool. It sold out in 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
But they will be doing live streaming. So if you weren't able to go, you can definitely follow it on live stream. Here's what I think is really cool about this and why I think it actually sold out. I think it's a combination of the topic, which is social recruiting. I think it's the format, which is designed to be more of a kind of an open format leaning towards a unconference. So that's going to get people much more involved in the conversation. And I think that that's becoming more and more important is, you know, you look at social media and the effect that it's had on people, and they can participate. And when you go to a typical conference, oftentimes you're there and the information is being pushed out at you. And so this is really designed to engage people more in the dialogue and foster a lot of collective learning. It's at Google, so that's a pretty cool thing, too. And there will be a tour of the Googleplex while we're there. And there's a lineup of great speakers. Reid Hoffman, the founder of LinkedIn, will be speaking. Lots of people that you guys probably follow on Twitter, Michael Marley and Chris Hoyt will be presenting on mobile. Shannon Siri Good is presenting, Lori Rudiman, Shelly Steckerl. I'm probably going to forget someone. They're going to get really mad at me, but that's what's coming.
That's okay. Well, when I send out the thanks to everyone who called into this call tonight, I'm worried I'm going to forget someone too, so that's okay.
We also have a speaker that I – what's kind of cool about this is all the marketing has been done using social media. So David Manister and the guys over at ERE have really done a great job with this. We have a speaker there. Her name is Sasha Chu, C-H-U-A, and she works at IBM. And she was probably one of the first people that – I was really blown away with that I found through Twitter. And it was when, this must have been sometime early last year, and she had put together this great presentation on social media. And she's, you know, emerging talent. She's someone that's, you know, not too long out of college. And I think it just shows how important it is that we not frame people, well, you must not have the knowledge because you don't have enough experience, where there's so much more we can learn from people that are looking at things with fresh eyes. And she did an amazing slide point presentation, I think is up on SlideShare, if anybody wants to go look for it under her name. And it's Sasha, C-H-U-A is the last name, I believe. So it should be a fun event.
Great. Well, thanks, Suzanne. I mean, obviously, I think most of us have seen quite a bit about it and lots of talk about it. It does sound like a pretty exciting event, and it sounds great that you guys have been able to sell it out as well. And certainly in a time where still travel budgets might be a little tight, and to get folks who are willing to fly out to California, certainly for this is a great thing. So congratulations on that.
And I also would like to invite everybody to participate in a poll that we have up on the Social Recruiting Summit website. And once you complete your answers, you'll be able to see all the results. But there's some really interesting telling information there about hiring results from people that are using social media, which tools that they're using for their personal social media experience as well as their corporate one, how they feel about job boards. So would love to get more people participate in that, and I think that they'll like the results that they see too.
Great. That's super. Thanks. All right, I think we just have a couple minutes left before we wrap it up. Any final thoughts? Michael, you've been kind of quiet. I think you're still on the line. Is that correct?
What, are you saying that I'm a loudmouth?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I just...
And
you know, Becky, what, you know,
Becky and Susan don't say anything.
Yeah. I was about to say something, but okay.
So Michael and, you know, me have done a lot of similar things over the years, been in the trenches with, you know, technology upgrades and cutovers and servers and all of that, which is all kind of boring stuff to most people, but can be... kind of compelling at times. So what's going on with you, Michael? Just quickly, what's happening?
Let's see, what's going on with me? Well, if any of you who have been following my Twitter stream knows that I just finished a huge PeopleSoft technology upgrade. So that was huge. I'm finished with that. I'm very happy. And my next big project is looking at HR analytics. So I'm very,
nice. Well, fun.
Very excited to do that. We're doing some product evaluations, and that's my big thing.
Great. Let me just stop for a second. We do have a new caller on the line. The new caller, can you please say your name and where you're calling from?
Sure. This is Michelle Wagner calling from Denver, Colorado.
Oh, hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm fine. Who's this?
This is Steve. I'm
okay.
Your host.
Oh, hi, Steve. I was just tweeting. I'm on now, so.
Okay, great. I know you had some trouble connecting earlier, so I'm glad you were able to connect. Great, thanks.
Yeah,
you may not
while,
know
thanks.
You by Steve. It's probably SB Jet.
That's
yeah,
what I was like, who's Steve? That's SB Jet I'm talking to.
You know, that's funny. It's funny you say that. I'm really torn with that whole SB Jet thing, at least on Twitter anyway. There's been at least four or five times I've been on that screen where you change your name. you know, your username, and I've been just so compelled to just put my real name in there and change it, and I haven't been able to pull the trigger on that yet. I'm still not sure what to do with that.
Well, it definitely could, you know, it could be your brand, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be.
Or Steve Jet, you know, then I would definitely remember Steve Jet. So,
yeah.
You know, anyway, jetting around cyberspace, I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. One of these days, maybe I'll make the switch. The it's hard, though. You get attached to those little names, right? Just like the HR Minion, right? It would be very tough to change your name at this point, wouldn't it?
I thought about it a little bit when I was when I came out of the blogging closet, but in the end it's like no, it I like it. The reason I did it even when I was anonymous is because I liked it. So why change it now?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the coming out of the blogging closet comment. Can you just tell us a little bit about that? That was really fascinating when that was going on, and just share a little bit about how that happened and what you were thinking when you did that.
It was a surprise. So, I was thinking for a while. You know, after I was talking to Jen, you know, HR Wench, and you know how she came out and how she was just really happy that she finally came out. I started thinking about it. It's like, I want to take ownership for this. I want to have my name on it. But I was still very hesitant because I didn't know how, if like it came out at work that I was a blogger, how that would go over. So I decided, you know, for now, I think I'm going to just stay in the closet and, you know, and if I get a new job, I'll come out. And then, lo and behold, I get laid off. And it stopped mattering anymore. So it's like, you know what? What do I have to care about anymore? I mean, I'm looking for a job. Social media can help me get a job. I would be a fool not to come out, not to put my name on things, not to take ownership of this. And so I decided, you know what? I could just come out, or I could come out hard. And I decided to build it up, and I made a game out of it.
Yeah, it was pretty. You did a great job of it because it was kind of there was definitely a build up. There was some excitement. It was really, you know, it was almost like must see TV in some ways, right?
I know.
That was
the
point.
That I didn't win.
that prize was snatched up in like 5 minutes.
Oh, you did the you did the binary code contest, right? Is that correct?
Yes, she did.
Right.
Yeah.
I put my name in binary on the site, and then you had to Google me to find and then find a fact out about me and then email it to me. And it, within 5 minutes, just like that, I got an answer.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I struggled with that same thing with my announcement, I guess. And do I make my tweets private, or do I just come out and say what's on my mind? And I really struggled with that one. A lot of people suggested that I start a second Twitter account and kind of use that one to advertise the fact that I was looking for something else and leaving my current company. But I, you know, the fact that my boss and coworkers were following me on Twitter, I couldn't be so public about it.
Right.
But I decided to, you know, I didn't change anything. I didn't make it private, so.
Good call.
Yep.
Yeah. I was like, well, they're going to find out eventually, so might as well just be up front about it.
It is weird, you know, the choice to make your account private or open. I mean, for the first couple of years I was on Twitter, I needed to keep my account private. It was, you know, part of something I had to do, and but once I was able to open it up, it's just unbelievable the opportunities to connect with people, and especially if you're looking for work. We see through Job Angels, if someone has a locked account, it just makes it that much more difficult for someone to reach out and help and say, you know, or connect and send a direct message and say, I'm here for you. What do you need?
Yeah.
Right. I think it's one of those things. I mean, a lot of people are 1 foot out the door, but they're afraid to say it because what if they
right.
lay me off if I say that I'm looking? But
right.
a lot of people that I've been connecting with are actually looking,
right.
like passively, aggressively looking.
Passively, aggressively looking for work. I like that.
I like that one.
Yeah. It's like, great. Oh, you can't hide. So, we're all free agents.
Oh, we should be at least.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's true. Yeah, that's definitely true. I think that certainly, you know, going forward, the definition of the traditional employee, may start to change even more. Casual relationships, contracting relationships, sort of people moving in and out of your workforce, certainly seems to be a trend that's going to continue in the future. Some things I've read recently suggest that the economic recovery, hopefully inevitable economic recovery may not necessarily correspond with lots of increased direct hiring. It may be just more of companies not willing to pull the plug on direct hires and adding to permanent headcount, but rather, wanting to keep more casual relationships in contracting and such. So the world's really changing in that regard, I think.
Yeah, it
really is. Well, great. All right. Well, great. Guys, I don't want to keep anybody else any longer on a Friday night, right? We all have lots of better things to do, right? Besides,
I got a red carpet event to get ready for.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
It's my third one this week. I'm so sick of those. I hear what you're saying.
I got to go get my hair done and my makeup, and I'll be ready to go.
Good.
Need to go out and actually get the oxygen.
I do want to say a big thanks to everybody who called in tonight. I'm going to all forget somebody. Mark, Susan, Michael, Becky, Joyce, Charlene. Shari, Michelle.
Don't forget Mona.
Mona with the shout out on Twitter. I know I forgot somebody. Did I forget someone who's still on the line? That would be really nice.
Shauna,
the HR minion, of course.
Michael, put your drink down. Put your drink down. Come on, say your goodbye.
I know. It is happy hour in almost all of the United States except for the West Coast, but. Thanks so much, everybody, for calling in. If you guys enjoyed this, just let me know. Give me a shout on Twitter, and, I can certainly organize these anytime. They're easy to do, and they're fun, and perhaps I'll give more than 20 minutes notice before the next one.
Steve,
thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for calling. Have a great night.
Bye, Michael.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye.